you know me, you know that I do a lot of service for this fellowship. Because I have found through my recovery that doing service has awakened my spirit in many ways, right? And, you know, the service workshop usually isn't that well attended because it's usually opposite the relationship workshop and everybody wants to go hear that stuff and nobody really wants to hear about service. And I'm not going to get up here and I'm not going to talk about H&I and public relations and all of the service things. What I kind of want to do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and how the spiritual principles that are contained in service and giving back have transformed my life. Because by being of service to Narcotics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous has served me in many different ways. I also want to give, I don't know if Stacy's in here, I got to give a shout out to Stacy. There's a lot of people in this area that I have done service with for 20 years. Some of them are no longer with us. Crystal was one of those people. Barkley was one of those people. And that's one of the benefits, I think, of service is finding people and doing service with people and overcoming confrontations and healing relationships and just having, like, these lifelong relationships. Randy is one of those people. When I got here, Stacy gave me a big, huge hug, like one of those NA hugs. And sometimes that simple NA hug is just like the best kind of service that you can give to somebody. I'm going to read something because this is something that always hits my heart. For the first time in the entire history of man, the addict stands a chance. We never had this before, so let's make the most of it. I tell you, it does something to you when you sit, as I do, at a meeting here on Friday nights and look around a big table and see 30 to 40 clean addicts and realize that this is probably the biggest number gathered together anywhere at one time, anywhere in the world, who are clean on the street because they have found something now that they were looking for in drugs but seldom found. Just a thought. But, oh, what a thought. That was Jimmy Kay in 1962. And as a result of the service work that our predecessors did, that Jimmy Kay did, that the people, like the NA History Workshop is going on right now, the result of the love and the commitment and the passion for Narcotics Anonymous of predecessors and people that were willing to, like, I have a couple friends that, like, helped write the basic text. And they would, like, drive cross-country, the cut and paste of, like, all different kinds of different color papers to, like, make the basic text. All of the service work that has been put in through the years has grown all the fighting, the area circus, the controversial motions at the WSC, all of it has gotten Narcotics Anonymous to where we are today. And I wonder what Jimmy Kay's thought, just a thought, would be today, knowing that there's 72,000 meetings or more across the whole entire world. 27,000 of those are in Iran. And the way that we have transformed Narcotics Anonymous into what it is today. Like, who would have thought pre-COVID, right, that we would, like, this whole online community would, like, explode. But because we're good at, because we care, and because we are resourceful, I don't remember, things shut down, and within 24 hours, we had shit figured out. We were figuring out how to get on Zoom, have meetings, and do all of the things, right? And it's as a result of people being willing to commit to service and commit to Narcotics Anonymous. In active addiction, we worked hard to reach goals that left us feeling empty, lost, and dead inside. We got what we needed, no matter the cost to ourselves or those around us. As obsession and compulsion drove us to bitter ends, we surprised ourselves at what we would do or what we would sacrifice. The more we pursued our goals, the less we felt any sense of purpose at all. I think somewhere else in the literature it talks about like when we get here, we're like broken. When I got here, I was broken. Being of service in Narcotics Anonymous was not on the agenda. What was on the agenda when I got here was I wanted Worcester County, Maryland off my ass because I had gotten a third DWI that I decided I didn't have to go to court for. They were chasing me down. I wanted my mom to open her purse strings again. John talked about Al-Anon. My mom had a black belt in Al-Anon, so when I was done, she was good at saying no. And then I got here, and it wasn't about service work, but then I went to my first meeting, and there was some chick there, and she drove a Lincoln, and she had on this, like, fresh outfit, and, like, this, she was cute, she looked like a Barbie doll, and I had heard somewhere that, like, get with the winners, get with the people that you want to be like them. I wanted to be like her, and she was the public information chair. So I started going to the public relations meetings, or public information back then. And then they told me I needed a home group, and they said, go to this home group, and you need to get a job at your home group. When I got here, I was broken. I didn't have any self-confidence. I didn't have any self-worth. I didn't have any sense of purpose, because my sole purpose at the end of the road was using and finding ways and means to use more. That's all I cared about. I didn't think that I was going to go anywhere. I didn't think that I was ever going to be useful. Again, I didn't think I was going to stick around here. I wanted you guys to give me some information. I was going to go do it my way. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, and thank God for the opportunity to do service. My home group, who like pointed me along, they gave me the job of the key tag person. And I did the key tags, and that was cool. And then I probably had, I had like 60 days clean. And we had a home group anniversary, and there were 90 people at our home group for the home group anniversary. And when I got here, I could barely raise my head when I went up to get my 30-day key tag. And 30 days later, because I kept coming back and I listened and I had a sponsor and I like was paying attention and I thought, well, maybe this thing is going to work. You know, I was a key tag person. I was like, holy shit, I can't get up in front of 90 people and give out key tags. And my sponsor, who was a good little caretaker, she was like, do you want me to do it for you? And I said, no, I got this. So that was the first time I remember being able to stand in the hope of recovery and be able to stand and have a little bit of self-worth and a sense of purpose, because my sense of purpose that night was like, I was going to give out the key tags in that meeting. And that was my first service commitment was key tags, and then I was on public information, now public relations. And I liked service work, right? I liked it because it was interesting to me. It was fun. Everybody was talking about, you know, area circus and doing this and doing that. And I got in the pocket of two women that were like service junkies. And like, I remember going to my first Marlikna, and the car was like, the car is a conference agenda report. It was 199 pages long. I remember the World Board was on the stage, and all these people with time and double digits had their laptops out, and they're all about business, and they're screaming at the World Board, and like, I'm like, what the hell is happening here? And the thing that I noticed was the members of the World Board sat there and they took it. And they responded with grace, and they responded, they were open-minded, they listened, and I said, that's not me. Like, if you come at me, I'm going to come right back at you. And I remembered that, and I'm like, I want to be like that when I grow up. And then my first area service thing was they got me to be the GSR, threw me to the wolves. It was I had 11 months clean, and I went in there, and there were people screaming at each other, and literally somebody jumped across the table and went after another member, and I looked at my home group member who had volunteered me to do it, and I was like, Brian, what the fuck? And he was like, can't you feel the love? And at that point, I didn't know. I was like, no, I think this is pretty crazy. I think people are having street behaviors up in here, and we don't do that yet with my hot 11 months clean, judging, like, how dare you act like this in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because I've learned, that's another thing that I've learned from service work, is not to judge. And because what I've, and just in here in general, because when I judge, I get my turn. Whatever I'm going to judge you for, I get my turn. Anybody that's like gone off the rails at a service thing, and I'm like, I can't believe they're doing that. They have 20 years clean. Da 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 da. They've done this. Guess who's gotten her turn, right? And then I continue to do service. I always stuck and stayed because, It continued to give me that sense of purpose, right? And it talks in our literature about some of us get here and we go gung-ho and we go all in and we want to do all the things. And yes, there was a time that I wanted to be the president of NA and I wanted to be the area chair just so I could be the area chair and I could tell people how to do it. And, you know, it also talks about the literature of how you can hide out in service, right? Because service can be a big distraction from doing the steps in the other parts of the program that we need to do to have the inward transformation. So for the first 5 years, I really had service-based recovery. Until I decided that I was going to get busy and I was going to do step work, and there are certain positions that I honestly could not just do, because again, talks about it in the literature, ask questions all throughout the step work about doing service work. I can't do effective service work if I'm not doing the step work to back it up. There are certain positions that I just couldn't handle where people were coming at me. Remember I talked about looking at the world board, going, yep, there people are coming at them, they're cool. I couldn't do that. I had to step down from a service position because I couldn't handle it. It was too much, and I knew that I lacked that interchange to be able to do it. And rather than be a disservice to the committee that I was in the chair of, I decided I needed to step back. So since I did that first round of steps and I completed that, I feel like I've done more recovery-based service. And one of the things I like to do, and I still do, is I like to look up definitions. Because I don't know about you guys, definitions work for me. I get things twisted in my head. My perception changes. I think it's something that I think it is that fits whatever I think that it should be. So I looked up service, and it says the act of helping someone or doing something for them. It also means, as a verb, perform routine maintenance or repair work on. So by being of service, I'm maintaining my recovery. I'm growing my recovery. I literally need to stay connected in the service because that. There was a time for a couple years I got there, and maybe somebody in this room can relate. I had like 10 or 11 years clean. There was some dude that I was hot for that I would thought, well, we were going to like have a, whatever, the picket fence and all that shit. And I was at the point where I was like, I've done enough service. I don't have to do it. It's somebody else's turn. Fuck this. I'm not going to area. I'm not going to region. It's stupid. I'm going to work out, whatever. And I wasn't connected. And I stopped doing some of the things, and service was one of the things that I stopped doing. And I ended up, you know, when you get here, they say you ain't hit a bottom, so you hit a bottom clean. That was the bottom clean. Because I was disconnected and I didn't have a purpose, right? Because I had taken away, even going to my, I wasn't even going to my home group. So like even doing something at my home group, even being of service to Narcotics Anonymous in some way is doing maintenance on my recovery. And my recovery is based on the pyramid, right? It's self, society, service, and God. And if one of those things is missing or lacking, if you think of a table, it's going to be all whacked out and out of balance and wobbly, right? I've been in the place where my life is wobbly and everything's all whacked out, and I don't want to be there again. Giving is present voluntarily and without expecting compensation. So selfless service means I don't expect anything back. I don't expect it just because, I don't know, I spend hours and hours and hours doing some service project that everybody's going to bow down at my feet and say, oh, thank you, Cindy. It was such a great job. We couldn't have done this without you, right? Spiritually, it means anchored in love, compassion, and gratitude. expressing and instilling gratitude, selfless generosity, which can bring spiritual growth. And I never really thought about service that way until I started to see some of the benefits as they were playing themselves out in my life, right? I never really looked, because again, in the beginning it was all about service. We got to go to the area, and we got to get the literature, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, and I'm the treasurer, and I have to count the money, and then I have to take the money to the area, and I have to do this, and on this committee we have to do this, and committee, and policy, and all this stuff. And I didn't realize what being involved in service was giving me in return. But then slowly but surely, I started to see the things that I was learning doing Narcotics Anonymous service, I could take out there. So learning to keep my composure when somebody comes at me at a service body meeting, I now can, when my coworker or a boss or someone like that pisses me off at work, I don't have to respond in an emotional manner and tell them to fuck off and end up in the HR office, right? Service can be a tremendous relief. We get reprieved from the self-centeredness at the core of our disease. It is a gift to set aside the burden of self-obsession and focus on principles. Once I learned that it wasn't all about me and I opened my mind and I started to do step work, and like, if you guys don't have the Guiding Principles book, the Guiding Principles book is amazing. It's focused on the traditions, but not just like the traditions as you think about it as they apply to service. There's a whole section in each tradition of how it can apply in our own lives. Some of the spirit, so for me, service has, because they always say service is not a position, it's a posture in the heart. Because I can have a service position and go there grudgingly because I don't want to do this, and my sponsor made me do it, and my sponsor blah, 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 because I make my sponsees all do service. They all have a service position. Can be in your home group, can be at the area. I actually have a sponsee right now. She does not have a service position. She's on special events, and they need a chair, and she doesn't want to be the chair, and I said, well, why don't you want to be the chair? You, like, have experience, like, you do good things with special events. And she's like, because I don't like those people. I'm not going to go sit with them for an hour or two. I said, that is not an excuse. That is a perfect reason to go sit with those people. Because another thing that service has taught me is to be open-minded and to learn from the people that I don't agree with. So the spirit of service kind of comes together with compassion and passion. I'm very, very, very passionate about service work. I'm passionate about this fellowship. I saw somebody at the World Convention had a shirt on, and it said, I'll stop working for NA when NA stops working for me. Yeah. Right? And I want to get a design made, and I want to make those shirts. Because it's true. Like, I've learned my lesson about stepping away from the basics. My sponsor always says, Cindy, if you don't leave the basics, you don't have to go back to them. Right? And I can tell you personally, where I am right now today, the only thing that's stopping me from really spiraling out into an abyss, because I'm depressed every other day. There's a lot of shit going on. I've lost a lot of people in the last 5 or 6 years. I moved. I haven't connected with my area down there yet. Their meetings are all fucked up and different. They do the format and they go, okay, who'd like to share? And I'm like, well, where's the speaker? Where's the topic? What are you doing? Right? And I've gotten involved, but I've stayed connected to service. Because I don't want to get away from the basics. And I know that as long as I'm plugged in and I'm doing something for the fellowship that saved my life, with gratitude, with passion, with love, I know that I'm gonna still have that sense of purpose, right? I don't want to stay in bed today and not come up here, right? But, you know, you've asked me like 3 times and I'm like, I can't say no. I can't cancel at the last minute. Like, because I made a commitment, and that's one of, like, I didn't commit to shit when I was using, except getting the next one, right? I don't know if you got this. Narcotics Anonymous and my membership in Narcotics Anonymous, my clean time is the longest commitment I've ever had in my life. And I've been here since May 20th, 1998, right? And I say that because that date, like I think John said before, that date is important to me. Because I have made that commitment to myself, and I've made that commitment to this fellowship. love, selflessness, unity, anonymity. Anonymity is kind of cool. Anonymity isn't just like what you see here, what you say here, let it stay here, here, here. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of doing service work. It means we're all on the same page. Thank you. Randy may have way more like practical experience than me, but when we come in here, we are all on the same page. And sometimes, like, Narcotics Anonymous is evolving, right? And I don't know if any of you guys have been on a committee, or maybe it's in your home group, and you got that old timer that's been here for 9,000 years, and they're like, we don't do it that way. We've never done it that way. Because they don't want to do whatever, we can't do that, you're going to kill people, all of it, right? Narcotics Anonymous has evolved. If we think about how now Narcotics Anonymous has evolved and changed with the times, like it says in our literature, we don't get to pick who the next generation of addicts is. We don't get to pick how the creative action of the spirit, which is our service work, helps Narcotics Anonymous evolve. Our message will always be the same, that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, right? Service has helped me find a new way to live. That message isn't going to change. The traditions aren't going to change. But the way in which we interpret the traditions and we can have our service communities and our fellowship development evolve is like beyond measure, right? And sometimes it takes sitting and listening to the person that may only have 5 days clean at your home group, making a suggestion, and maybe giving it a try. Maybe like Randy goes, oh, Cindy, that's not going to work. But if the group conscience says, hey, let's try it, like, I'm sorry, you guys, we can't fuck up Narcotics Anonymous. The second tradition says that a higher power guides us. I no longer have, because I used to think that, like, we're going to destroy this, we can't do this. I don't have a reservation in my second tradition when it comes to service work now. And I've also learned that if I don't agree with something that somebody wants to try, or we want to do this, or we're going to do that, I've also learned through the spiritual principle of surrender, because sometimes I have to surrender to, it's not going to go the way that I go, but let's see what happens. Being responsible, tolerance and patience. Anybody that's been to an area service meeting knows that you need to have tolerance and patience. We're talking about this shit again. We just went over this meeting. Didn't we go over this motion last month? And most important, like, there's a whole bunch of confidence. It's given me confidence back. Generosity, flexibility. I've learned to be flexible and listen to people. It's helped me with communication, wisdom, discernment. But most of all, service has given me a connection to people and connection to the fellowship and getting out of like my little comfort zone and doing things that I don't think are, that I sit, the disease still says, Cindy, you're not worthy. You are not worthy. In December, I got an email from Becky at NAS, and I'm like, who the fuck is Becky? Becky is the associate director of NA World Services. I had thrown my service resume into some whatever to serve, to do something and help out with the World Convention in D.C. They picked 13 people between the Central Atlantic region, the Free State region, and the CMP region. They chose me to be on the work group to help plan and facilitate and get volunteers and do public information and do all this stuff. And I say that with humility because my thought, just a thought, when I was standing on that stage doing Clean Time Countdown in front of 20,000 people, besides, holy shit, there's a lot of people up there, was what a gift this fellowship is and what a gift it is to be able to serve Narcotics Anonymous and what a gift service has given me back and bringing me to the person that I am today through, like, the spiritual principles and all of it, just all of it. And I've had some challenging service positions that just all of it. Randy and I were talking about that. I probably don't have that much time left. I'm just super grateful. Like, if you guys aren't doing service, please try, just give it a shot, right? Do something at the area. Make sure you have a job at your home group. check out the region. There's all kinds of stuff. We got zones to help you out. I mean, there's all kinds of things, right? And be creative. Like, service doesn't have to be boring. GSR workshops don't have to be boring. Like, we can make them fun and we can make them interesting. It's going to take all of me and it's going to take all of you, all the people that you're going to talk to and all the people that you're going to carry the message to make this a greater reality. Jimmy K, 1973. This is a pretty great program already. And we're going to continue to grow and we're going to continue to have like new generations come in and we can make it greater. And from the guiding principles, each of us is founding NA today, right where we are. Each of us is building hope for ourselves and the addict yet to come. We know that the work that we do in service has effects far past our ability to see or imagine. The very best we can give is ourselves. We give freely, and what we give is hope. Narcotics Anonymous is a message of hope and a promise of freedom. And I am eternally grateful, and I can never repay this fellowship for what you guys have given me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cindy. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Martin.
Hey family, I'm an addict named Martin.
Hey Martin.
Man, is it hard to compete with dinner? I really think we should have let Cindy run for the rest of that hour because that was a phenomenal description of service. I'm grateful to be here. It's always really a privilege to be asked to serve in any way for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous gave me my life back. So without question, it's always an honor to get to be able to be of service and to give back. You know, giving it back is the topic of this meeting, and there's so many different ways that I see that I'm giving back to the world what was so freely given to me. Narcotics Anonymous, when I got here, I was connected through treatment. Because I came in through the psych ward because I was trying to kill myself. And, you know, getting here through a suicide attempt is something that I force myself to talk about because I think it's something that isn't, you don't hear it much, that much like the temptation to use, suicidal ideations is a temporary affliction. There is hope on the other side of depression low enough to end your life. Using is obviously a slow form. Addiction is a slow form of suicide, but I think it's an important reminder that there's life beyond. You know, I was lucky enough to get connected with you guys because of H&I. H&I came into the rehab that I was in. I was out in Massey, 2013. And there was one guy who did a meeting at the rehab, and he was a young guy. He didn't look cool. His story wasn't like mine. But when he described, he went through that treatment center. He went to Massey, and he was okay. That, to me, was the reassurance that I needed, that I was going to get something out of listening to these meetings. One person in H&I opened my mind just a little bit more where I was at that rehab that changed my perception completely. My ability to listen to what people were telling me, my ability to open my mouth and share just a little bit more, to actually say what was going on with me, right? Like, how can you get the help that you need if you're not willing to say what's actually happening, right? Well, I was taught growing up, don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. I was taught that what you are feeling, what you're going through doesn't matter. You need to stuff it down so that nobody can hear it. And what I heard when I got into the rooms was that we want to hear from you. We want you to share. We want to know what you're going through. We want to help you. We're here. Our message like was so eloquently said, is that an addict, any addict, can lose the desire to use and find a new way of living. But what are we really doing here? We're just trying to reach the addict who's still suffering. That's it. That's our whole purpose. It's amazing. This program is amazing. Narcotics Anonymous is amazing. Right? When I studied the traditions, I also went back and I studied AA's traditions. And I found out they actually tried to do sober farms all the way back in the beginning. AA was like, we're going to save everybody. We're going to do sober farms. Right? We're going to get everybody together. That's a dream of mine. I still have that dream. Right? So I was like, this is awesome. Well, AA realized that we can't be everything to everyone. Right? Narcotics Anonymous doesn't need to be everything. We don't need to save anybody. We just need to be able to be here to say, we're here. We will help you if you let us. Right? The answer is here. We've got it. In fact, millions of people who have done the 12 steps are not only clean today, they're happy. That was the message that I needed to hear when I was depressed, when I was alone, when I was so broken. My best friend was a mannequin. Right? Not kidding. He's still my friend, Manny. He doesn't talk to me like he used to. But he's still a close personal friend of mine. And my dog Mohawk kept me alive, you know, long enough to be able to find somebody. I went to rehab once. I got introduced to you guys, and I was desperate enough to just do whatever you told me to do. And I'm still here. 11 years later, I'll be 12 years in June. I'm here because I just keep doing what you guys tell me to do. I just keep sticking around. I noticed that somewhere around the 3 to 5 year mark, that if somebody is not doing service, if they haven't taken on sponsees, somewhere around that 3 to 5 year mark, recovery looks different for those people. And this is just, you know, this is not any official data. This is just, right, this is just my experience. But what I see is that, like, those people start to wonder why they still go to meetings. Those people start to wonder what else Narcotics Anonymous has to offer them because they've already gotten it. If they don't make the switch to giving it back, it's like the program's a little bit cheaper to them. And in fact, life's good, right? 3 to 5 years clean, man, you can do a lot in a year, but like 3 to 5 years, life looks different, right? So if that shift doesn't become, how do I give that back to the next person? It starts to become like, why am I even here? What am I doing here? Right? We read the same literature over and over again. I was so confused when I first started going to meetings. It's like, we read that same thing like yesterday. Why are they reading those same readings every time? Right? It's because as addicts, we need to hear the information over and over again. Right? I'm a very quick learner, but I'm an even faster forgetter. You know? I got to hear this shit over and over again. Well, if I don't have a reason to be in the rooms anymore, how am I going to get that information over and over again? If my focus hasn't changed, and I'll tell you, I think I know what happens for a lot of people. One, you got to go through a couple of sponsees that don't make it, right? That's tough. For whatever reason, those motivations are theirs, but that's been my experience. But you got to go through this period where you work on yourself and you do the step work, right? And your perception changes. And you start to see your own defects in a different way, and you're acting in the world a different way. But what you also start to notice is everybody else's glaring defects, right? And it's like so obvious seeing everybody else's flaws because you've literally, I mean, you've done the step work, right? You've risen to a different place. Your perspective, you can see differently, right, from this different perspective. And it's glaringly obvious that everybody has this problem and that problem, right? This guy pissed me off. I'll tell a personal story in a second about that. But like, you've got to still keep doing enough work on yourself to allow other people to have their flaws, right? To be able to go into service work and recognize that the person next to you may or may not have more clean time. They may or may not have more recovery than you. They are just as capable of acting out on character defects as you are. And that's okay, right? Like, it's okay for all of us to still have our struggles. Me on my best day, or me on my worst day, I'm still just me. I'm still just another recovering addict who's got to get a day clean. You know? So the personal story, I feel like I should tell this. So there's a guy who asked me to speak at this convention who, a couple years back, I was organizing a get-together. And I had a bunch of people doing this thing I call the Thrifty Golfers. It's where we go out and we get coffee together, we go to the thrift store, we buy ridiculous outfits for each other, and we go play mini golf. And he wanted to go the 1 year, and he said he couldn't, and he got in a fight with me on Facebook. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a Facebook fight. It doesn't go well. Nobody wins. It's a text-based fight. Everybody's hearing one thing. I'm trying to say, no, it's fine. And he's hearing, it's fine. You know? So anyway, we get in this fight. And the first thing I did when I saw him at a meeting, like 2 days later, is I went straight up to him. And I said, I'm so sorry if I came off rude. Right? Really what I want to say is, you came off really rude. But I said, I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding. I think I came off really rude. I want to make sure that you know I care about you, and I hope that you come with us if we do it again in the future. That's Narcotics Anonymous. That's me working a real program. That's unity. That's making sure that the meeting and the unity in the room is more important than just me and my feelings. And those are the people that I learn from, those are the people whose recovery I really respect. It's the people that are getting out of their comfort zone to be a different person, right? Because service work gives me a commitment to show up for even when I don't want to. And it's there that I get to find out who I really am, right? Because it's easy to be my best self and be me, like the person that I really like, the me that I really like, when I'm by myself, right? It's really easy to be totally integrity when I'm not challenged. It's another thing when I'm put in an environment where I'm uncomfortable, right? And then it's like, well, which spiritual principle am I going to apply? Because my life gets really easy when my compass, by default, becomes the spiritual principles. So which spiritual principle applies in this scenario? I can tell you that the only way to change, the only way to recover, is by applying the spiritual principle when it matters, at that moment. Am I going to go the way I've always gone, or am I going to actually apply the spiritual principle that applies? That's it. And that's the only time to do it. Otherwise, you still end up being the same old person that you've always been. Right? Service work is an awesome way to be able to find out who you are, get challenged, and still have the other people around you forgive you long enough for you to overcome that and find a new way of life. H&I, right? Being able to share your story. You're nervous to share your story? Awesome. Sign up for H&I, right? Say yes to those things that make you uncomfortable in order to get better at it. Before the meeting, some readings were being handed out. No, I can't read. I can't read in front of other people. Okay, well, the question becomes then, that irrational fear, do you want it or not, right? Because in my opinion, it's like this, I can't recover unless I think it's possible for me to recover. And for a long time, I didn't think it was possible for me to recover. I'd never been to a meeting. I didn't know you guys existed. I'd never seen anybody get clean. Going into the rehab, going into meetings afterwards, seeing people that really are clean, it's like, this is possible for me. But I needed to change that mindset. I needed to be able to say, it's possible for me, and move that into my heart, right? I am an addict. I admit it. I let it into my heart. That's the admission for me. It's the ticket to the dance. You go into the carnival ride. I'm admitting into my heart that I'm an addict. I know it for me, right? So do I want a different perspective or not? Do I want to change? I need that mindset to say that it's possible for me, right? And I say all this because you probably can't tell that I had overwhelming anxiety. I used to get face blindness. My anxiety level when I would go into a meeting alone, just walking into a meeting would be so overwhelming for me. It was impossible. I would start sweating. My face would get all red, right? In the checkout line in the grocery store, I would get face blindness handing my credit card to somebody in line, right? You can't even tell. Well, why? Because I believed it's possible for me to change. I believed it was possible for me enough because of you guys being kind enough to me and allowing me to learn how to live. I got to change who I really am. I really had a personality change. I'm genuinely a different person than I used to be. The kid that walked in the rooms at 29 years old is different. I am different than I used to be, and that's because of service work. Right? To me, I break it down like this. Perception is reality, right? What's great about that is you can choose to change your perception. And if you choose to change your perception, you can change reality, I can recover. I can stay clean. I can get through it no matter what. I can get out of my comfort zone and reach out to somebody and do something different. I can sign up for service work. Right? I got out of rehab and I ended up at a sober living house, thank God. And this is sober living house, we're having dinner out back, and this guy, an alumni, came, and he was doing H&I, and this person had canceled on him. He was trying to catch somebody for H&I, right? So everybody, you know, is at the table. I'm the newest guy, and they start from the guy who's most, been at the house the longest. You know, are you available to do the service position? Nope, I got this. I got work. Next guy, I got my girlfriend. Nope, I got a family. I got this. I got that, right? And they went down the line. They get to me. I just got out of rehab. I was hoping that was a good enough excuse. I just got a rehab. You don't want me there. And I kid you not, a butterfly landed on my arm. And for me, that was enough of a sign that I had to say yes. Right? And I'm like, overwhelmed. I'm telling you guys, I can't speak in front of people. I can't be around people more than a few minutes. I'm an introvert. I'm a depressive, bipolar, borderline person. What are all this stuff they prescribed me with, right? I'm like, I'm fucked up. I'm not, you don't want me to do this. You know? And then he goes, by the way, it's the Jessup jail. We're going into a maximum security prison. And I'm like, what? I didn't go to jail. I got out of everything. I talked my way. I would be drinking. I'd have drugs. I would have the alcohol. I'd be literally drinking. I would take the open container and put it under the seat next to me and talk my way out of the ticket. I didn't go to jail. And they were like, so you're available? Yep, I'm available. I said yes. And that's how it continued, right? When you're asked to be of service from NA, especially when it's uncomfortable, you say yes. That's what I was told. And that's what I've been doing. And everybody that I see who does service work stays clean and they're happy. So like shit. All right. Because I'll tell you, I'm in the no matter what club. I will do anything not to go back to the way I was living. I will do anything. And when I say that, talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. So I don't just say that. I mean that. And I mean that because I do that, right? So early on, I one of the guys who's in a sober house with me, a friend of mine, Jack, he goes to his home group, and I fall into his home group, and I sit in the back, and there's all these people. I'm like, this is a great group. I'm going to join this home group, because Jack joined this home group. I'm going to join this home group. Just do whatever Jack does. And I join the home group, and so then they're handing out service positions, right, at the group conscience, and well, we got a coffee maker, we got the key tag person, and we got this and we got that. We need a GSR. And I'm like, I don't know what GSR stands for. I'm not sure what you guys are talking about. And they're like, great, you're the GSR. And you're going to go to area service, and you're going to do this and that. And I said, okay, fine. And so I go to area service, and it's like, what in the world is going on here? But it was great. It was like the government, right? It was like the back end. And I felt like I was doing something secret, and I loved that, you know. And there's all these people doing service work, and I didn't need to know anything. It was like I couldn't get fired. They weren't paying me, you know. So I just got to learn. I got to do what they were doing. I got to find out stuff. I learned the Rogers rules. Like, what the fuck? Robert's rules. See, I don't even know. That shows you I don't even need to know, right? What a blessing. And then I got asked to join PRI. And I was part of PRI, and eventually my life got really full, and I gave up those positions and I changed home groups. And what's really funny about life is, about 2 years ago, I became my new group's GSR, and I rejoined PRI, and it's come back around, which is really, really cool. And our area, I get to be creative, right? Like, our area made T-shirts, and we're selling T-shirts to reduce ticket sales for newcomers. Some part of West Side area, and we just started putting together these packets to send out to churches and mosques and places, so that they'll have literature that they don't even know they need, right? Along with a letter. And that idea came from another area where one of our other service members moved from, out in the middle of nowhere, United States. It's just like the power of this program. is beyond measure. And I have to tell you guys, like, I keep giving it away and I keep getting more than I expected. And if I had have been told what I was going to get, I would have told you I didn't want it. The person that came in didn't want a relationship back with my family. The person that came in here never wanted to get married, certainly was never going to have children. And I have a relationship with my sister again after, I'm going to say we were estranged for probably 15 years. I don't know. She has a niece who's 3 years old now, and it's just an amazing part of my life. I met a woman here who's here with me, and you know, completely changed my perspective on what a healthy relationship is. We worked on IVF for quite some time, literally across the street, which is amazing. And we have a little girl that's on her way in May. And last night I got to play one of the songs that's really, really touching for me, Peter and the Wolf. That was special to me when I was a kid, and we put it on for the baby in the womb, and we could see her dancing in the womb. And I say that because this program has given me more than I would have even asked for. And if you told me I was going to get it, I would have said I didn't want it. Being of service and giving back with my sponsees, I've learned more about life and recovery than I could have even from my own recovery. My value is beyond measure, and I'm talking about spiritual value, right? The spiritual awakenings that service work has given me. When I get myself out of the way and I'm able to do the right thing for the right reason, I get to do God's work. I get to pray to say, let me be of service. I get to say, before I get up here, I don't need to be nervous. God, give me the words that I'm supposed to say, and if I fuck it up, it's God's fault, not mine, right? But I'm grateful to know that when I'm doing the next right thing for the right reason, that those ripples take place how they're supposed to. Not for me, not in my time. I don't need to know. Service work is a beautiful way to spend, and we need you, right? It looks effortless that there's a convention, but we're all here. Anonymity is each one of us being that cog, right? We're all the cog in a wheel, and that's how spirit works, right? Spirit is all, and we all get to be the individualized version of that. We get to have our own experience. I hope you all will find that level of freedom, right? And I'm searching for those levels of freedom, right? God, self, service, society, that pyramid gets higher and higher. There are levels of freedom you have not experienced yet. Surrender to those spiritual principles. Be of service. You're going to find them too. Thanks for letting me share. I'm Martin.